is just after 6 o'clock here on 88.7 WLUW Chicago. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from the 100-watt, I think I'll throw my hat into the 5th Congressional District Race Ring radio station, 88.7, and podcasting exclusively on OutsideTheLoopRadio.com, coming to you from the OTL bunker, somewhere in Chicago. This is another edition of Outside the Loop Radio, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Thank you, little announcer guy. I had no idea that you were going to run for that open congressional seat. But hey, good luck, and I'm sure that Andy will vote for you.
I certainly will. He stands for many things in this world.
Welcome to Outside the Loop Radio, show number 126. I am your host, Mike Stevens.
And I am your executive producer, Andy Herman.
And we come here to the OTL bunker. Well, you know, we come here a lot, but we broadcast from the OTL bunker every Friday at 6 p.m. right here on WLUW Chicago. And we take our signal, upload it to Rogers Park Studio, broadcast the program. That's how we work. That's how we roll.
It's very complicated and technical.
But we get it done.
Yep.
Barely.
Every week.
Yeah, some would say. Anyway, OutsideTheLoopRadio.com is our website, so be sure to hit that up. OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. It has all the audio archives, the podcast of the program, pictures and video, OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. You can also get on our email list. We would love for you to do that, and we send you an email blast each week about what's happening on the show, and we also have links up to our Facebook page and our MySpace page as well. And now, I guess, hey, MySpace, or Facebook, rather, like, owns us.
Yeah, I read about
that. Yeah, I guess everything we post on there, oops. When when we're probably, you know, doing the show when we're 90, because we will, our pictures from now will still be up there, or at least they'll still own them.
Okay.
I think.
Oh, boy. Do they own the audio, too?
I don't know about the audio. Probably. You know what? Probably.
Because we say copyright every week. They can't take that away from us.
You know what? I bet if Facebook sued us, they'd win.
Oh, Facebook.
Well, we love that you listen to the show, and we hope that you tune in each week. Now, Andy, something that I saw this week, this is not good. Pedestrian deaths here in Chicago are averaging over one a week.
Really?
Yeah, and they went up over 14% for a total of 56 pedestrian deaths in 2008.
Wow.
Not a good thing.
No, not at all.
And it's funny because Jenny and I, my fiance Jenny and I, were literally just talking about this. We were driving down North Avenue. We were headed out to Elmwood Park to see my folks. And we were driving from Wicker Park to Elmwood Park, and that's a route that we take fairly often. And I know that this is not the sole cause of pedestrian problems or deaths, but when you're like rolling down a street like North Avenue that gets pretty big and there could be like a median in the middle of it.
Yeah.
There are people that just run out and they like hang out on that median.
Oh, really?
I mean, they will like have conversations and talk. And hang out, and then they'll try to, like, you know, turn around and cross the street. And we're thinking, this can't be safe.
No.
This cannot be safe. So we actually counted how many groups of people we saw on the way. So from, like, North and Western to, like, Harlem and North.
Okay.
We saw, like, six or seven just clusters of people. Just people that would run out into the median and just, you know, like,
and just
talk,
hang out?
Or just, like, they'd be talking, like, coming out of church or something like that and just talking on the median. And if you pay attention, this happens, I think, in more spots in Chicago than we would care to imagine.
Wow.
I mean, this, I was reading an article that talks about even Michigan Avenue, where you have shoppers running out into the median and just, you know, with bags of whatever, shopping bags on their arms, and just hanging out there. So this happens a lot. So look, we don't want you to get hit. I don't want to hit you, especially if I'm driving. So please be careful. That's all I'm saying. This is like a PSA,
okay,
a little public service announcement from Outside the Loop, your friends here at OTL. Be careful when you're crossing the street. And also, drivers, the cell phone thing, don't be on the cell phone.
Not cool at all.
It's not cool. And really, get the headset, get the wireless Bluetooth thing, because there are still people that are on the phone. Just come on, please.
I see it all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's from your friends here at Outside the Loop. We need like a, the more you know, like rainbow.
Some sound effects.
Well, we have a big show to do here on the, on the program, and this is a show that happens each week. We talk about issues and topics that don't always get a whole lot of mainstream attention, and if they do, we take another angle on those topics. So without further ado, executive producer Andy Herman, what are we doing later in the show?
Well, host Mike Steven coming up in just a bit. We're going to talk about a website featuring the pros and cons of the Olympics possibly happening here in Chicago. And before that, we'll learn about a local hero to Chicago bar patrons and how we can now track him online.
Oh boy, stay tuned for all of that. First, we'll talk a little local politics with someone who really knows what's up in the political scene here in Chicago. Each week, we feature local music on Outside the Loop. This week, we feature the local music of Leslie Hunt. She is she plays like indie pop. It's
cool.
Pretty cool stuff. You can check out her MySpace, myspace.com/Leslie Hunt. And we'll hear that music right now. You're listening to Outside the Loop Radio. I'm your host, Mike Steven, with executive producer Andy Herman here on WLUW. Even though the big presidential election has come and gone, and now we are firmly into a new presidential administration, there is still lots of politics here at home, and especially in the 5th Congressional District right here in, mostly it's in Chicago, some of the suburbs as well. It's a very big congressional district, formerly held by now Chief of Staff to President Obama, Rahm Emanuel. That seat is open, and boy, there is a lot of talk about what's going on in the 5th Congressional District because it's literally up for grabs. Ben Jarofsky is a staff writer for the Chicago Reader. He has the cover story, as a matter of fact, for this week's Chicago Reader about what's happening in the 5th Congressional District with a special election right around the corner. Ben is on the line with us right now. Ben, thanks for taking the time to join us again here on Outside the Loop.
All right, thanks for having me.
No problem. I should also mention that you do blog on ChicagoReader.com. Of course, it is the Clout City blog, so we want to tell everyone about that. But, Ben, let's talk about this, what you wrote about, the cover story in the Reader with the 5th Congressional District. In this story, you talk about a lot of the different candidates, and we should say at the outset that there are a lot of candidates, aren't there?
Yeah, there's quite a few. I think in the Democratic primary alone, there's 12. I may have lost count. And then there's like 4 Republicans.
I've got 6 Republicans, and 5 Greens. So 12.
Okay, so you actually have the list in front of you?
Yeah, 12 Dems, 6 Republicans, and 5 Greens.
Okay, keep in mind that a couple people were bounced off the ballot. So it was even more at the start. But anyway, go on. It's a crowded race.
Well, it certainly is a crowded race. And I guess that's an interesting place to start for this conversation. Yeah, it's a seat that people want, but why is that? Why are so many people throwing their hat, do you think, in this race?
Well, I hadn't thought of that, but now that you ask it, it's a good question. I think that the most obvious answer is that because it's such a unique election, it's a special election on what they call an expedited schedule. So, for instance, the normal campaign schedule goes from maybe August till the primary in February or so. People start fundraising or spreading the word that they're going to run. It's like a 6-month period at least. Mm-hmm. This one was all within maybe a month or 6 weeks. And so that gave, because Emanuel stepped down right after winning re-election and I think it was January. So here we are in February. So you're talking about 6 weeks from start to finish. So that gave people, everybody felt, you know what, I can win this baby. There's not a lot of time for the front runners to establish themselves as front runners. If there was ever an election where nobody will have a ton of money because nobody had a lot of time to raise money, this is it. There's no other elections on the ballot, so turnout will be low. So if I can just get my core group out, I'll have the sliver I need to win. So I think it's just the peculiarities of the election led people to dream big. And so there's a lot of big dreamers in this race.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also talk about, in your article, different kinds of congressmen. And you talk about some of these candidates and how they might fit into those kinds of congressmen. First of all, what kind of congressman do you talk about in your article this week?
Well, the basic categories, there's the two big ones are the outsiders and the insiders. And I think by their name, they may be pretty obvious. An outsider is a person not unlike myself. I'm not a candidate, but I am an outsider.
You're not a candidate yet, as a matter of fact. But who knows? Maybe by the end of this interview.
Yeah, right. I will declare. I'll throw my hat in the ring. A person who's outside the mainstream of the political party, a person who, by virtue of being an outsider, even by temperament or personality or inclination, what have you, likes to rattle the cage a little bit. That type of congressional candidate, or actually if they ever get elected, congressman, serves a very useful function. He or she is very unlikely, of course, by virtue of the fact that they're outsiders, to pass any legislation, but by speaking their mind and being clear and straightforward about what they believe in and being unwavering in their principles, they can help shape the debate. And so for on the left, for instance, you'll have a guy like Dennis Kucinich, who's very much on the outside of the Democratic Party. Every time he runs for president, he gets clobbered. But he's been persistently and consistently pushing certain issues on the far left, on national health care, to get the soldiers out of Iraq and Afghanistan. And that keeps the pressure, to a degree, on the mainstream Democrats to adhere to him, to listen to him, to at least give some kind of lip service to his faction. So that's sort of the role that an outsider can have. And an insider, of course, is a person who is very much a part of the political apparatus and presumably will use his or her contacts with the party machinery to bring home goodies for the district. So those are two of the big categories.
Sure, sure. Well, as you see it in this fifth congressional special election, are there more outsiders or are there more insiders?
Well, that's a great question, and that gets into a whole sort of irony where we have clear, lifelong insiders running as though they're outsiders, which I can't really understand why they would do that, because in Chicago, we have a very, it's very rare that an outsider ever gets elected to anything. So in this case, we have, for instance, John Fritchie, who is a state rep. He's running in the 5th Congressional, and he's a state rep, as I said. He's a zoning lawyer whose uncle-in-law is William Banks, who is the chairman, Alderman William Banks, the chairman of the City Council Zoning Committee. Mm-hmm. And so, but Fritchie is running as a reform candidate, which is sort of an interesting idea, a little flip on the word reform, why a zoning lawyer would be a reformer, but he's running as a reformer. And then you have, you have Sarah Feigenholtz, who is a Democratic incumbent state rep, and she is very clearly an insider. She's got close ties to Michael Madigan, who's the House Speaker. And to her credit, she's not even running under any pretense that she's a reformer or an outsider. She's running that she will use her contacts, her influence as a Democratic insider, so to speak, in Congress to push for health care. And so from the moment she's in Congress to the moment she leaves, she will be pushing for national health care coverage and insurance policies, better medical facilities in the Chicago area, health clinics, that kind of thing. So there's a great contrast right there where you have two career insiders, but one is running as an outsider and one is running as an insider. I think the one legitimate outsider in the race in terms of elected official is Mike Quigley, who is the Cook County commissioner, who has been on the outs with Mayor Daley for a long time over the issues of TIF. And so he's legitimately a person on the outside, for better or for worse. And that's just of the elected officials. Of all the people who are not as well known, I would say there's far more outsiders than insiders, because obviously if they're running for the first time, you have, like, there's three doctors who are running who've never run for office before, and then there's a couple economists running who have never run for office before. So just by this definition, they're on the outsides, but when you listen to them, you get the idea, in many of the cases, that they would prefer to be on the inside, and once elected, that's where they'll go.
Has anyone, do you know, taken the pulse of the voters in the 5th Congressional District? Are people excited for this election? Do they know what's going on with their candidates? Do they have any sort of fire lit underneath them that they want to go to the polls and put a congressman in office?
Well, the answer to your question is that They're having a couple surveys, but there's no indication that there's a great deal of fervor for this campaign. I mean, keep in mind, it's coming on the heels of the presidential election of 08, which was really exciting. I think people may be kind of burnt out on elections. I think that it's awfully difficult to follow things unless you're passionate and interested in it like I am or you are, you know, the activists or the candidates themselves and the candidates' families. So I don't get any sense. And plus, it's like I said, it's a hurry-up offense, and so it's hard for people to really spread the word about the campaign that's ongoing. On the positive side, there was a forum on Super Bowl Sunday sponsored. It was at DePaul University, and I didn't think anybody would show up, maybe 50 so people, you know, friends of the candidates, and there were over 700 people there. So from that I took that the people who really care about politics really care about this election. But in any given district, at the risk of sounding jaded, the percentage of people who really care is low. So I predict a very low turnout because we just came out of a very exciting presidential election. So it's sort of hard for people to gear up again. Except for the junkies like myself.
Of course. Well, Ben Jarofsky is a political junkie. He is also a staff writer for the Chicago Reader. You can pick up the Reader this week. Read his cover story about the 5th Congressional District and the special election that's happening in April, right, Ben?
Well, the first round is March 3rd. That's when the primary is. So we have a primary. They made it really confusing. There's two. There's a primary election. That's where the Democrats will select their candidate.
Okay.
And the Republicans select theirs, and the Green Party selects its candidate. And then those three candidates, the winners of those primaries, will face off in April for the championship, so to speak.
Well, you could see what Ben is writing about all the time about this championship and others at ChicagoReader.com as well at the Clout City blog. Ben Jarofsky, thank you so much for your time, and we'll be reading you in the Reader.
Thanks so much. Take care.
I don't have to worry whether or not you would like.
This is Andy Herman, executive producer of Outside the Loop on Loyola University's Community Radio, 88.7 WLUW.
And this is your host, Mike Steven. And right now we're listening to the local music of Leslie Hunt. Her MySpace page is myspace.com/Leslie Hunt, spelled just like it sounds, and it's some local female pop indie rock for you. And each week we feature local music on Outside the Loop, and we would love to hear some of yours. So send us some via our website, of course, outsidetheloopradio.com. You can also email us off that website any MP3s or anything like that, or tell us about some shows you've got coming up. We'd love to plug those for you. Each week we do that right here on OTL. This is show number 126, and Andy, here we are in the OTL bunker, somewhere in Chicago.
Somewhere here. Always a good time.
Speaking of a good time, you know, we like to go out occasionally with some friends, enjoy a couple rounds at some taverns, which is a wonderful thing.
That happens on occasion.
Support the local economy. But when you do that and you go out late at night, you get hungry. And someone that we've mentioned on this show before, who is really a local hero to many people.
Oh, yes.
Especially those who go out and drink maybe heavily, shall we say. is this guy, well, no one really knows his name, but they call him the Tamale Guy. And if you, especially if you're in the Ukrainian Village, Wicker Park area, Bucktown area, you've seen the Tamale Guy. He's the guy that comes in late at night at the bars with a cooler full of tamales. He's this short little guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, tamale, 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 tamale. And you can buy homemade tamales from this guy. Well, people are wondering, how do I track this guy? Because no one really knows him personally. But now there is a way to track the Tamale Guy. And with us on the phone is the genius behind this project to track the Tamale Guy. His name is Clint McMahon, and he has started a Twitter page at twitter.com/tamale tracker, where you can tweet and track the Tamale Guy. Clint, welcome to Outside the Loop.
Hello, thank you.
You are such a genius.
Oh, thank you. I don't know if I can't take all the credit for it. My friend Maddie, who was getting on me for a while, to somehow create a method to track the tamale guy, because he's everywhere and you never know exactly where he's going to be.
Well, that's just it. He always pops up. And like you said, you never know where he's going to be. So now with his Twitter page, if you have a phone that has the internet on it, you can go on to twitter.com/tamale tracker and tweet that you are looking at the tamale guy. You know, you could say he's in he's at the Happy Village on the corner of Wolcott and Thomas. So if you're at the Innertown Pub, heads up, because you might be headed your way.
Exactly. And I think the more people use this, the more data that we could collect on it and eventually maybe trend some of it and do predictions on what bar he's going to go to and where he's already been. So, if, you know what, after maybe a month or two at midnight on Saturdays, he's at the Innertown or he's at Club Foot. I think it could grow and become this amazing tool that everyone can use.
So now, as I understand it, you live in Lakeview. Does the tamale guy go up to Lakeview?
I've only seen him... the farthest east I've ever seen him is at Delilah's on Lincoln,
uh-huh,
at Diversity, but I never see him over in my neighborhood at all, which I wish he would be, like, you know, because that'd be perfect for me. That way I can just stay in my neighborhood and get tamales. But
sure, sure.
I always see him over at, like, Ukrainian Village, Wicker Park, Bucktown, over in those neighborhoods.
Right. That's where I see him as well. I used to live in Lakeview, and I never really saw him up there. But have you ever stopped and said hello to the guy? I mean, you've obviously purchased tamales from the dude, but have you struck up a conversation with him?
I've tried, and a couple of my friends have tried. He's just not a big talker, at least not to us anyway. He's quick. He gets in and he gets out.
Yeah, he's efficient.
And, yeah, he is. And I've heard that there's more than just one tamale guy, and I've seen multiple tamale guys in the same bar on the same night before. Now, I don't know much background about it. I know there was a Gaper's Block web article about it about, I think, it was last summer.
It was, you're right, in July, right.
And yeah, and that gave me some good information. But I've only, you know, said a couple words to him, give him my order. He gives me some tamales. I pay the man, and then he's gone.
According to that Gaper's Block article, his name is Claudio, and his wife makes the tamales. And there is another tamale guy, according to this article. There is a little bit of a rivalry, but Claudio really has, you know, he's got his game on, so he's all over the place.
He does, and he does a great job at what he does.
Well, those are certainly delicious tamales, and I think a lot of people right now might go out tonight with their eyes peeled for the tamale guy. Claudio is his name. I think the other guy's name is Pedro, but you know what? You're better not off not calling them by name, because
exactly,
that could cause some controversy. So if you have a web-enabled phone, you can go on to twitter.com/tamale tracker and tweet when you see the tamale guy. And hopefully we create something big, a big network where we can map this guy out. And man, he is a hero.
Yes, and I hope it gets big and everyone can use it, because, I mean, I built it for the people and I built it for tamales, so I want it to grow.
I built it for the people and I built it for tamales. Well, that is certainly the phrase of the day, Clint. Thank you for your time and your hard efforts building this Twitter page. Clint McMahon is the founder of twitter.com/tamale tracker. So you can go there, track the tamale guy. And Clint, I know you'll be on it. Good luck. Good luck finding him, and have some good eats. Okay.
All right. Thank you. You too.
I certainly will. Andy, we got to get on there and tweet and find him.
Oh, I'm all over it.
Okay. Stay tuned. We've got more of the show here on Outside the Loop Radio. Stay tuned. More music right now from Leslie Hunt right here on Outside the Loop on WLUW.
I've got a novel expression wrote down from my two headlights.
I think we're hearing more and more now that there's this possibility of this thing called the Olympics that might be coming to Chicago in 2016. We are one of the finalists for the Summer Games, hosting the Summer Games in 2016. And with us on the phone to talk about the Olympics and fostering a discussion about having the Olympics here in the city of Chicago is Steve Frain. Steve runs a website called A Balanced Discussion, hosted at Chicago2016.com. Steve, welcome to Outside the Loop.
Hi there.
It's good to have you. Now, this website, how did it come about? Because, as you say, this is a balanced discussion, so there are pros and there are cons of having the 2016 Olympics here in Chicago, and that's all featured on your website. What was the idea behind this site?
Well, that's a good question. I grew up in Houston, and I saw, as Houston was bidding for a prior Olympics, they started to put some of their city planning objectives more oriented towards the Olympics than towards their citizens. And Houston in particular is a very car-oriented city. And they built a light rail system, which was really basically just designed to impress the Olympics for their mass transit orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the first thing that gave me indications that there needed to be a broader discussion of the utility of an Olympic bid. And then you saw in 2012, New York's bid for the Olympics was really, really poorly orchestrated because of, because of a number of things and because of transparency issues. And so I felt like, that we need to take care of these transparency issues. Citizens need to understand what they're getting into rather than letting bid committees dictate what they want.
So when you go to the site, there's a lot of information that's up there. You've got all kinds of links to books, to lists, to studies that have been posted on your site. So this is really sort of a clearinghouse where people can go there and make up their minds for themselves using the information that's on your site, whether or not, hey, this is a good idea to have the Olympics here in 2016, or you know what, this isn't the greatest idea.
That's right. This site is the one-stop shop for Chicago-oriented discussion and facts about the bid here and what this is going to mean to people here, on both on the positive side and on the negative side, and everything in between. So, yes, that's exactly right.
Do you think that people now are probably going to start talking about this more? Because this whole Olympic process has been going on for a long time. And we've heard about it for, the last year or so. But now we're a finalist city. And I think people, at least it's been in my experience, just talking with people that, wow, this is coming up, October 2nd? The International Olympic Committee is going to announce the city. So do you expect to have more traffic flow into your site in the coming months?
I've seen steadily increasing traffic since the middle of last year, with a very significant down period during the holidays, from November to December for about 1 month there. But ever since the beginning of the new year, the traffic has really been increasing, and I definitely expect it to really increase through October, right, as it warms up and people start going out to major events around town and start seeing Chicago 2016 bid committees advertisements around town. I expect that the chatter around town is going to increase significantly.
There's a section on the website that says get involved, and people can go to this and learn how to get into discussions. You say you advocate for some interviews with residents and each other, and there's really a sense, I think, just by looking at this site, that you want to foster discussion amongst Chicagoans.
I really do. I invite people to read and understand what academics have published on this, both from an economic standpoint and from a social standpoint, and then also to give back to the site and to give back to the community, at whatever level people are comfortable with, right? If someone wants to write something similar to an op-ed piece, we'll post that as long as there aren't any glaring factual inaccuracies. And, we've got some students involved doing major research projects, and I'm basically willing to involve anyone in the community at whatever level they're willing to give.
And briefly, we have 10 seconds left, but regardless of what happens on October the 2nd, whether we get it or not, will the site stay up?
I expect this to be a discussion of the Olympic bid process during the bid phase, during the pre-Olympic hosting phase, during the hosting phase, and even after hosting the games, right? Even after the games are done, I want to go back and I want to examine whether this was a good deal for Chicago, whether it was bad, and who benefited and who didn't, and I want to do a full analysis.
Well, there's certainly a lot to talk about, and Steve Frayn is getting in the mix with regards to talking about the Olympics, the possibility of having the Olympics here in 2016. Steve Frayn runs a website called A Balanced Discussion, hosted at Chicago2016.com. Steve, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
There you go. We'll leave it right there. Outside the Loop Radio Show number 126 in the books. And of course, you are listening to 88.7 WLUW Chicago. I am your host of this program, Mike Stevens.
And I'm your executive producer of this program, Andy Herman.
You're the people's executive producer.
That's right. I'm just producing all over.
Maybe you and the little announcer guy can get into that fifth congressional race. You know, you could be his campaign manager.
Okay.
He needs a little, you know, how do I say this?
A little help in the PR department.
Yeah, he needs to be better with people.
Yes.
Because after he leaves here, he goes and he just heads to the bar after he leaves the OTL bunker. Well, anyway, enough of that. Thanks for listening to the program. Stay tuned because the one and only Slacky J is coming up next with the Reggae Vibe Show here on this Friday evening. Copyright 2009.
Albert James Productions.
Thanks to DJ Goldie G, Dave Goldman, the one and only Dave Goldman, mm-hmm. the OTL theme song composer that you're listening to right now. Thanks to Lawyer Danny. I'm not sure if that made sense. Thanks to Lawyer Danny, who is our legal counsel.
The one and only.
The one and only. And Andy, thank you for all your help.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Mike. Well done.
You are beautiful. We'll talk to you again next Friday at 6, right here on Outside the Loop Radio. Also, OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. Stay tuned for Slacky here on WLUW.
Chicago.